Thank you, Michelle, for leading us in that prayer. And with the time we have left today, I want to look at one of the phrases Jesus instructed us to pray. Before we do, I'm just going to open in prayer, and then we're going to head into it. Father, thank you so much for what has already happened here today. Lord, I thank you for the baptisms. I thank you for the commissioning of our Mission Peru team. I thank you, Holy Spirit, for being here with us in such a powerful way. And I just ask that you would continue to move amongst us. Lord, we want to hear from you today. And Lord Jesus, I don't think anyone's come here to actually hear from me. They want to hear from you. So Jesus, please come and preach this message with me. Bring your word. And Lord, I ask that, Lord, that Bremley Alliance would be marked as a church that is that are hearers of your word and doers. They will obey. We will obey as this family. Lord, we want to bring glory to you. I believe that with all my heart. And Lord, I pray that you will just move amongst us even now. And just speak. Jesus, get me out of the way. Forgive me my sins. And Holy Spirit, please fill me up even now. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, for the last couple weeks, we have continued to return to this old path with new power. And the old path is one of prayer. And we have been looking at this prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray, but it wasn't just for them, it was for us as well. And after this huge start to the prayer where we are instructed to call God Father and then to focus in on who our Heavenly Father is in all of his glory as we hallowed his name, make his name holy. And this is a wonderful and such an important part of this prayer, to focus in on God, to worship him, to see him, to think on him, to think of God and who he is, to look around at creation, from the massiveness of the cosmos to the wonder of new life. I mean, we've just come through spring and all the new life that is all around us, to the design and the complexity and the order of our human bodies, how they work, you know, that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. And there is so much that we can learn from about our Heavenly Father from looking around at creation, but there is so much that he has revealed to us through his special revelation in the Scriptures. And we are to focus in on him. And then we are to pray for his kingdom to come, that life here on this side of eternity might reflect his good and perfect will as we go about our lives. And all this is being played out with our eyes focused upward to God. And suddenly it comes down to a point, and it seems rather abruptly, to give us this day our daily bread. And this is not as abrupt as you might think, because the focus and where we're coming from is having our eyes on God and thinking on God and who he is. And Jesus is saying, from that place, ask the Father for the needs that you have to do life today. Now, you might remember the last few weeks as we've been looking at this prayer, it has this huge emphasis on knowing God and all that he is. So when it comes to us and we come to ask God for our daily bread, it should fill us with confidence. It should fill us with faith. Our trust is in him to meet our needs. So let me ask the question. Are there things in your life that you need God to meet? The reason I'm asking this question today, I was reading this conversation that a North American pastor was having with an international worker in Haiti. Her name was Gertrude, and she basically said to him, "You North Americans don't need God, not like Haitians do." And the pastor's kind of like, "What are you talking about?" She said, "If you don't pray, if you don't read your Bible for weeks, it makes no difference in your life. You still have food to eat. You still have a place to sleep. You still have a regular income. You don't need to practice your faith every day." And that can sure appear to be true for many Canadians who might call themselves Christians. Now, Gertrude lived among impoverished people. And they were seeking God out for the basic needs of life. And the Lord was responding to their prayers. He was caring for them. He was ministering to them. And they were seeing the hand of God in their lives and growing in their faith. But what about us? What about us? Because we can just kind of flow over that phrase and miss out on seeing the active hand of God in our lives. And to be really candid, we can miss the adventure of living in His hands. Living with God in such a way that He meets our needs. He sustains us as we seek His kingdom and His will. Give us this day our daily bread. We come to God and we ask for bread. The word bread here is an important word because of what it represents. And it has, over the centuries, been quite a topic of debate and conversation. And it's interesting to read through some of that. But what is critical for us today to know this morning is that the Greek word used for bread here in this passage, okay, you ready for this? It means bread. I know what you're thinking. Thanks for that, Pastor. Really? Really? That's the depth that you have today? No, there's more, though. There is. Because that word also means, and you know with Greek words, man, they are just so rich in their meaning. It also means, it also, bread represents that which is essential to sustain life. That which is essential to sustain life. And oh, we have needs. Yes, you might have bread in your cupboards at home. You might have a refrigerator that's full of food. But life is more than food for our bodies. It's much more than that. How's your heart? I mean, seriously, how is your heart today? Spiritually, how are you doing? What about your level of emotional energy? Do you have what it takes, what you need to make it through each and every day? How are you doing with stress in your life? I mean, mental health is this huge conversation. And it's going on all over the place in this day. How is yours? And so you know, God, Jesus, cares about it. And then there are the physical needs we have. Not wants, but needs. And Jesus teaches us to bring those things to God, to ask Him to give us what we need as we seek Him for bread, that which is essential to sustain life. How often are we to seek God for our needs? Daily. Daily. I mean, you see it here. The importance of the relationship with our Heavenly Father. He is seeking to have this relationship with us. And He doesn't say, hey, you know what? Drop in and see me at least once a week. Maybe twice. You know what? Actually, why don't you just come on Christmas and Easter? Because those are important days. Come then. And those are important times. But what Jesus is teaching us is that every day we need to come to God. We need to seek Him for what we need for that day. You know, there is this wonderful picture in the Old Testament. The Jewish people, many of you might know this story. It's a good one. They're kind of wandering through the desert. And they're there for 40 years. And obviously, not much grows in the desert. So what does God do for them? He provides bread for them. Manna from heaven. If you're interested in reading about that, Exodus 16. Take a look later on today. But do you know the instructions that God gave them? Here He is, providing for like a million plus people. Food from heaven. And He gives them some instructions. He says, gather enough for one day. One day. And then on the sixth day, before the day of Sabbath, before the day of rest, to focus in on God, gather twice as much. So you don't have to do any work on the seventh day. And some of those Jewish people, some of the Israelites, they could be just like us. They're not very good at doing what God instructed them to do. And they gathered up way more than they could eat in one day, and it wasn't the sixth day. And what happened to all that extra? It became full of maggots, and it smelled really bad. If you've ever had an encounter with maggots, you will literally feel like your skin is crawling for days. Trust me in that. I worked for my dad. My mom and dad are here today. I worked for my dad for a number of years, and one of the jobs I got given, you know, the son of the boss of the company, was plaza maintenance. And we had to do a lot of garbage collection, and there were a few times that there was a fish restaurant. And I'd gone away for 2 weeks, and some other employee had not really taken care of things, and we got this complaint that there's really bad smell at the market. And so I went over, and sure enough, there's this big bag of garbage. And it's sitting right in the middle of the kind of the driveway behind the plaza. And my buddy John and I, we had to move it, and it was really heavy, and it ripped open. Let me just tell you, we had to use shovels. And everything moved. It was disgusting. And it taught me some really good lessons about make sure you throw your garbage away. But beyond that, what this might have been like to go in to where you had stored your food and then you find it full of maggots. And it kind of strikes me as crazy that the Israelites would have done this. What is God trying to teach them? And saying every day, go out and the food will be there. He's trying to teach them that they can depend on him. They can depend on him. He will provide. And it's just crazy that they disobeyed. Because they're gathering up more than they needed. Because I'm sure they thought, well, we just want to make sure we have enough for tomorrow. Could it be that they were thinking that they did not want to be dependent on God? Even though he had given them the manna to begin with? See, you kind of think through these stories and I think, are we any different? I mean, do we ever stop and recognize that everything we have is from the hand of God? Everything we have is from the hand of God. And yes, I know some of you say, whoa, Pastor, I have worked for it. Who created you? Who gave you the abilities that you have? Who gives you health in your body and strength in your bones? It's God. It's God. And I get it. For some, they have a really hard time recognizing this because we live in a culture that we're taught to thrive on self-sufficiency. And that is one of the greatest illusions out there, that we are self-sufficient. It really is an illusion. Moses tried to hammer this home, how important God was to the Israelite people and how important God is to us. And this is a verse that I have used consistently for the last couple months because I'm hoping this will get hammered home to us as well. Moses said, Deuteronomy 30:20, love the Lord your God, listen to his voice, hold fast to him, for the Lord is your life. And nothing can be truer. Nothing can be truer. The Lord is our life. Not your cell phone. Not that great job. That is not your life. Not your bank account. Not your home. Not the wonderful meals that you might love to enjoy or the vacation that you wait for. None of those things are your life. Not your friends. Not your kids. Not your spouse. The Lord is your life. And all of those other things, all of them, can add to our joy in life. But our Heavenly Father is the starting place. He is the middle, and he is the end. He is all throughout. And if we get this wrong, we can end up becoming like the Israelites with their manna. They tried to save up, and it just went bad and got pretty disgusting. This is why Jesus has us start this prayer with Father. Father. And then right into hallowed be your name, so that we might look at God and we might realize there is no one like him in his awesomeness, and we might see the place that he is the place that we need to hang on to. We need to have him in first place in our lives because he is our life. And daily, we come to him and we seek him every single day. And he gives us that which we need to sustain our lives. And Jesus said, give us. He was instructing all of us to pray this, no matter what your social or economic status is, poor or rich or something in between. This prayer is for all of us, all of us. And we need to know that God is the one who sustains and provides for us. We need to know this for when the storms of life hit or the moments of crisis. I know today that there are many stories represented in this auditorium. A lot of you have been through the crises. You've been through the storms of life. You've been through the health crisis or the family crisis where relationships are out of whack and there's stress all over the place. Many of you have been through financial crisis or work situations where it becomes so difficult to continue to be where you are. And so many followers of Jesus find out in those times, what give us this day our daily bread really means as they go through those times. And the reality that our Heavenly Father can give us strength and he cares and he comes alongside to encourage in those moments. But how good would it be? How good is it to walk with God in such a close way that you know this before the crisis ever hits? Before it ever hits, you know this truth, that you need him every single day. And as we live in that reality, as we lean into that truth, and then the storm comes, the peace that transcends understanding, that comes from God, will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. And you will keep on keeping on because you know who has you, who is holding you, who's watching out for you, who's walking with you through these difficulties. Let me just mention something this morning that may be heavy on some of your minds in these days. And as I do this, let me remind you that I have openly confessed before all of you in the past that I am really good at worrying about stuff I have no control over. And for years, I blame my mom, who's sitting right over there, that she gave me the worry gene. You know, my mom has had nothing really to do with it, though I still like to blame her. It's me. It's trust. And God has been doing a work inside of me. He has been growing me, and because he's awesome. And we're all meant to grow in our faith all of our lives. And I want that for you, for all of us, that we don't get to a place and we stop growing. Because when you stop growing, you're in trouble. When you stop learning, you're in trouble. When you think you know it all, oh man, you're really in trouble. God has designed us to walk with him all through our lives so we could come into a deeper and deeper and deeper relationship. The whole reason this is called, you know, the series we're doing is called Old Paths, New Power, is because prayer is something we all know about already. But when we enter into it in new ways, when we give time to it, maybe like we haven't, we begin to discover the power of God in new and in creative ways. You know, as I reflect back over my own life, it's funny because I look back over, it has been in times of prayer when God has done some of the most significant things in my life. Sunday morning services have been amazing, but it's been in prayer times when God just seems to come, personally and corporately. Prayer is so important. And I mentioned that I'm really good at worrying, and weeks ago when Dan Hogan came to me and was telling me about Yarrow and how God had been directing he and Nicole, and they were going out to candidate for this new position, this community pastor role, I listened to him. We talked. I prayed with Dan. And as he left my office, I just heard the Holy Spirit whisper to me, "He will be going where I have directed him." Amen. So a few years ago, go back a couple of years from now, no, it's back in time. If this had happened then, I would have cranked up the worry engine. I would have started freaking out like my hair was on fire, running around, "Oh, what are we going to do? What are we going to do?" Because this is a big deal. This is a big deal for our church family and our staff team. And I sure didn't want to see my friend of over 20 plus years move on to a new place. But you see, here's the thing. I have been walking this old path of prayer in new ways in the last months and years. I've been in God's Word, reading it, letting Him speak to me. And I still haven't freaked out with worry about the fact that Dan is moving on. And so, you know, I can do that because I'm really good at it. I've done it in the past. But it hasn't happened. And I don't think it will. Because our Heavenly Father will give us what is essential for this family, so that we can continue to worship in spirit and in truth. And He has provided for us as a church family, and He will continue to provide for us as a church family as He provides for the Hogans, as He is directing them. And our Heavenly Father, every day, will give us what is essential to sustain us. Our daily bread. Are you walking the path? Are you walking the old path of prayer? Are you spending time with your Lord, with your Savior, with your Father every day? Because it is there with Jesus, with our Heavenly Father, that there is power to do life well. I'm going to ask this morning for all of us to stand, please. And as we close off our service this morning, I want to offer up to you a prayer that Paul prayed for the Ephesians. And my friends, as I do this, because I'm going to release us once I'm done praying this through, praying from Scripture, can I encourage you this week, come to your Heavenly Father every single day and say, "God, I'm here. Here are the needs I have. I'm putting them before you." But start with our Father who art in heaven. Let me make your name holy. Focus on Him first. And then come down. You know, as you prayed for His will to come on earth as it is in heaven, then come to, "Here are my needs." Start with looking at God. Because sometimes, you know what? The needs that we feel we have, just by looking at our Heavenly Father and knowing Him and who He is and what He's done and is doing, all those things we feel we need, they suddenly begin to fade away. Remember the old song, "Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim." Come to our Father. Come to Jesus every day. Let me pray this for us. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us, to Him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. We are released.